The reading this morning is taken from 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and through Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us the very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, every effort to add to your faith, goodness, and to your goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into your eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
All right. What did people hear? What stood out to you as you were listening to those words being read? Anybody? Yeah, the source of our effectiveness and our productivity, which we often measure, is Jesus. It's our love for him. The pathway to love. Yeah, sorry, who was? Make the effort. Yeah. Anything else? Anne. Wow. So in case you couldn't hear, Anne heard Derek Prince teaching on this passage, and the same night it was on the radio, and she changed her vocation as a result of this passage. Wow. John. Thank you. Yes. Yep. Sarah.
It begins with faith. And so if you haven't got enough goodness and endurance, you go back to the first place.
Yes, it begins with faith. And so if you haven't got enough of these things, you go back to that first place of faith. Caleb. Oh, sorry.
The evil desires.
Yes. So
the evil isn't just in our deeds. It can be in our thoughts as well. You know, that's just as important inside as just as important.
Right. So evil comes from our thoughts as well as from what's inside us. Yeah. Cool. Let me pray and then we'll get into this. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through the scriptures that you have inspired, and we ask that you would speak to us this morning as we share in this time together. In your name we pray. Amen. So about a week ago, Sarah, my wife and I had great excitement as my daughter sent us a little video clip of our four-month-old grandson trying to roll over. And some of you have met my youngest grandchild. He's a big chubby boy. And so he's lying on his back and he's pulling his knees up and something's over here and he's looking at it and he doesn't really know what he's doing, but he's kind of rolling. And then there's something over there, so his head goes and he's arching his back and you can see him almost rolling over, but not quite. So, you know, it's one of those stages that every child, in the normal course of things goes through. So great excitement at this new stage of development. You know, if she sends us the same video in 4 months and he's still trying to roll over, excitement will turn to concern. And in 8 months, if he's still trying to roll over, you know, we'll probably be wanting to talk to a paediatrician or professional to find out what's going on, because that's not normal development. You know, children are, and if all things being well, grow through various stages of development. And at different times, everyone does it in their own time, but our expectation and our hope and our dreams as parents and grandparents and uncles and aunties and family and friends for our tamariki and our rangatahi is that they grow, that they develop, that they mature, that they become functioning, healthy adults and lead fulfilling lives. And, you know, if our kids are not thriving, we'll do whatever we can to get past whatever is causing that, won't we? You know, it's the same for the children of God. If we are Christians, we've been born again. We've been made new people in Christ. And just like a newborn baby, as a new person in Christ, you were made to grow to maturity in Christ. God has loved you unconditionally from the moment you were conceived. He's been with you every moment of your life. He's forgiven all your sins. He's showered you with his mercy and grace. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. It continues to be an amazing thing to me that God accepts me just as I am. But I also know that God doesn't want me to stay just as I am. He wants me to grow and keep on growing because he wants more for me than I can ever hope or imagine for myself. And the same is true for each and every one of us. God's plans for you are far better than you can imagine or dream or believe for yourself. Now, it's true that kids grow at different rates and they go through different stages. They learn something new and it's wonderful and exciting, and then perhaps they plateau for a bit and then they take off again. So growth is kind of stepwise. It's organic. It's not just a straight line. How is your growth at the moment? Are you on an upward trend? Or have you become a bit static? Are you stuck in a rut? Have you plateaued and stayed there for a long time? As you look back over this year so far, or over last year, or maybe the last 5 years, what's the track been like for you? At the end of his letter to the Colossians, at the end of chapter 1, Paul says this: "It is Christ whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me." Paul's passion, Paul's life work, his God-inspired energy is being poured out in order that he might see people come to maturity in Christ. When you were born again, God made you a new person and he made you to grow. How's your growth going at the moment? As I was thinking about that question for myself just recently, I read this passage and there are a couple of things in here that I found hugely encouraging. So here's the first thing. We already have everything we need to grow. Verse 3. God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Everything we need to live the life that God has planned for us, we already have through our knowledge of Jesus Christ. God has revealed himself to us. We can only know someone to the extent that they make themselves known. And in Jesus, through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, God has revealed himself to us, and we can know him. You know, we often think of eternal life as something that comes after we die. Maybe we don't think we think that, but often in the way we speak about faith, that's what we come out with. But when Jesus was praying for his disciples on the last night he was with them, in John chapter 17, he says this: "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That's what eternal life is, knowing God. And three times in this passage, Peter speaks about knowing God. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory. In verse 2, right in the opening, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." And then in verse 8, "If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus." And, you know, this is what a few people mentioned. All of what Peter was speaking about, these things that we need to grow in and cultivate in our lives, they come from that starting point that we know God and are known by him. We've talked a little bit about the fact that there was a wedding here yesterday. It's so exciting for Tim and Sam. In a few weeks, Sarah and I will be celebrating our 39th wedding anniversary. We know each other well. We've spent a lot of time together. You know, I know Sarah better than anyone else in the world knows Sarah. But I'm still getting to know Sarah. You know, there are layers to a person that it takes the whole of our lives to kind of peel away. And it is like that with God. 20 years ago, Sarah and I moved our family to Bible College to train and prepare for ministry. We both did 3-year postgraduate degrees. And then Sarah's brighter than me, or perhaps just more committed, went on and did a PhD. But, you know, after 3 years of postgraduate study in theology and biblical studies, do you know what the most significant thing I learned was? I learned that I really don't know that much about God. There's so much more that I don't know, and there's so much that I will never know this side of the grave. But God calls us to keep growing and learning. Because what I know is this: God is faithful and just and true. And in knowing him, I find life and life in all its fullness. Because I know God, my life is richer, more fulfilling. And the more that I know God, the deeper my experience of hope, of peace, of love. The more I know God, the better person I become, because the more like him I become. This is the kind of knowledge that Peter is talking about here. And then in verse 4 he says this: through this knowledge that he's given us, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. He's given us his very great and precious promises. In addition to making himself known, he's made all these promises. And What are these promises? Peter doesn't specify them. There are so many promises in the scriptures, but I want to touch on just a few. He promised us his Spirit. Before Jesus went to the cross, he said that, you know, he was going, he would go back to heaven, and that he would send his Holy Spirit. And he described the Spirit as someone who would fill us, empower us, indwell us, and guide us into all truth. True to his word, he sent his Spirit. He's given us the scriptures that we might learn and understand, and the Spirit enlightens us as we read the scriptures. He's given us the church. We don't have to do life alone. In Christ, we have been born again into a new family. We're all brothers and sisters. And we have one another to journey with together in this life of knowing God more and more. One of the key ways that we do that here in this church is through our small groups. So it's good you're back, Tobia. If you're not in a small group and God's prompting you to get involved, talk to Tobia. She would love to hear from you. But there are so many other opportunities. Alpha's coming up. We've just had a week of 24/7 prayer stations, and we'll be doing that later in the year as we join with the wider Anglican Communion in the Thy Kingdom Come season. We have regular retreats. And there's a whole lot of other things that go on, not just in our church, but out there, that help us from around the wider Christian community, that help us to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God. Now, I do want to acknowledge that just as with the child, sometimes there are things that stunt our growth or prevent us from growing. And there's all sorts of things, but I want to mention two things in particular. Some of us may need healing from past hurts. Maybe there's deep pain in your background. Some of us may have experienced trauma that's prevented you from thriving as God intends you to. There was a time in my life when I became stuck because of things that had happened in my life. My spiritual life was flatlining. I felt like I was trapped in quicksand. I couldn't go forward and I didn't know what to do. I was in a church that offered prayer ministry every week, and so I went for prayer ministry at every opportunity. I saw my doctor and he prescribed some medication for depression, and I had a period of counselling which helped me work through some things that I had just buried deep within me. And through the grace of God and the support of people who loved me and cared deeply for me during that time, I came through it all. And the experiences that led me to be in that place are still part of my story. But God has brought restoration and healing, and they no longer have the same hold on me. If any of this resonates with you, I encourage you to come for prayer ministry after the service, or come and talk with me or Billy or Caleb or one of the other leaders. God wants to bring healing and wholeness for each one of us. He wants us to thrive. And we as leaders want to do whatever we can to enable that for you. Here's my second thing that might be holding some of you back. Do you need to change your diet? And I'll explain this in a minute, but in my wider family, some years ago, someone had a condition called pernicious anemia. Their body couldn't process iron, and they just couldn't hold iron in their system. And so they ended up having to have regular vitamin B12 jabs to keep them going. And they also had a problem with a connective tissue disorder that meant they had this kind of fungus growing on their tongue all the time. And then at a particular point, this person decided, I wonder if changing my diet will help. And so they became gluten-free. It changed their whole life. They no longer need the B12 jabs. The problem with their tongue has cleared up. Sometimes we need to change what we are taking in because it's affecting our health, our spiritual health. And you know, So I ask, how's your diet? What are you reading? What are you watching? Who are you listening to? And you know, this is a really big thing for me. If any of you are into Strength Finders, which is a personality type kind of thing, right at the top for me is input. What that means is I just love learning stuff, but not in a kind of structured way. I'll be reading this and then I'll go over there and there and there, and I'm just storing stuff away, random facts. Sarah wants to put me on the chase because every now and then while we're watching it, I can pull out a random fact from an article that I read, you know, 20 days ago or 20 years ago, and she'll say, how did you know that? And I'll go, I don't know, I just know it. But, you know, what it means is I take information in from just a whole range of sources, and this is how God has wired me. But at my worst, it can lead to things that are really unhealthy. You know, I like to read a lot. I like watching movies and TV. And, you know, I can end up living on junk food, just watching light entertainment or reading light books. And there's nothing wrong in that. But if I do too much of that, I just end up feeling empty. You know when you eat a whole lot of junk food and it feels really good for about 5 minutes and then you feel, oh, that didn't fulfill me? Or it can lead me to doom scrolling. How many people find themselves doom scrolling? Like, you know, you read one article and it links you to another one and another one and another one, and before you know it, you're deep down a rabbit hole and you are overwhelmed with all the dark stuff that's happening in our world. And so I have to be careful, because that leads me to spiral into negativity, to become angry or grumpy or irritable. I love crime and spy thrillers, you know, and some of them are just fun, or, you know, I just enjoy them. But sometimes they can kind of go into dark territory, and I might be captivated by a compelling story, but I end up with this kind of dark taste on life. So when I see myself going to those places, I know I need to change my intake. I need to change my diet. I need to spend more time in the scriptures. I need to hear God's word to me. I need to listen to some worship music or read something uplifting. I need to take a walk and intentionally tune into God while I'm walking, or just make a coffee and sit in my favorite chair and just be in the presence of God and reorient myself. I need to change my intake. You were made to grow, and God has given you everything you need to grow. And if that sounds a bit hard and heavy, here's the other thing that I really was encouraged by in this passage. You can start from where you are right now. In verses 5 to 7, Peter lists off this whole range of virtues that we are to pursue and cultivate in our lives. It's similar to the fruit of the Spirit that Paul lists in Galatians 5, but there are some differences. And I don't have time to unpack all of this, but what I want to highlight is what Peter says in verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure. And again, it's back to that growth track, isn't it? It's not about where you start, it's what is the track like. So maybe you don't feel like you've got a lot of goodness or self-control or perseverance. Well, that's okay. Just start from where you are. Do you hear what I'm saying? None of us can claim to be finished. None of us can claim to have all these qualities to the level that makes us, you know, we're finished. We can sit back and cruise now. And someone mentioned, make every effort. Twice in this passage, Peter says, make every effort. Make every effort to add these things to your faith. It begins with faith, but we grow into these qualities as we come to know God more and more and more. And then in verse 10, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. You know, there's this dual dynamic to our faith that can be a bit hard to get our heads around. It's all about God and what he does in us. But it's also all about us and the decisions and actions we take. Only God can bring the work of transformation that we need to thrive, to live well, and to become the people that God made us to be. But God can only bring about this transformation if we play our part. Peter talks here about participating in the divine nature. This is not a spectator sport. It's about participation. Making every effort to cultivate these qualities that Peter lists here: goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. If we lean into this life that we have in God, then God will bring wholeness and fulfillment. But it does take effort on our part. It takes intention. It takes action. It takes commitment. It takes courage and vulnerability. But if we lean into these things, as Peter says right at the end of this passage, we will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. God made you to grow to maturity in Christ. God has given us everything we need to live in him and to grow to maturity. And you can start where you are today, or you can start afresh where you are today. Let me pray. Gracious God, we lay our lives down again this morning. We acknowledge you as the source of the healing, the wholeness, the transformation that each one of us needs. God, help us to play our part, to participate in the divine nature, to seek after these things, but most of all, to seek to know you more and to live more and more into the calling that you have for each one of us. Thank you for your promises that you will never leave and forsake us. Thank you for your Spirit who indwells us. More of you, Lord. More of you. That's our cry this morning. For we know that that is the way to life in all its fullness, that is eternal life. In your name we pray. Amen.